There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have you all along. Another couple hours of live local talk, and glad you're here. Phone line, text line, yeah, we can talk on that and text on that. Love to talk to you as well today at 251-343-0106, or you can always leave us one of those talkback messages if you got the FM Talk 106.5 app. And the front page there where you're streaming the audio, if you look down there, there's a microphone icon. If you'll press that, it gives you a chance to record a message and then email it to us. All right, lots coming up on the show today. We'll get to the July jobs numbers and to talk about some of the good news, but the worry in that too, what that means for inflation. I mean, it's a weird world, but good jobs numbers, people getting jobs, then is an inflationary pressure. We'll get to that coming up. Oh, and speaking of inflationary pressures, I was just telling Leanna about this. I pull back the curtain on stuff around here. You know, like regular telephone lines are going away, right? So the equipment we use here to, like, our phones are, like, throughout the offices of Bigler Broadcasting, all that here are voice over IP, right? They're VoIP lines. But up front here, because of the huge number of rollover lines we have, like, so 343-0106 is a number, but then you could call it and somebody else can call it and somebody else can call that same number, and it keeps moving them down the stack. We have this, you know, this rollover deal where we can fill up all these phone lines, like we might do later on to give away a pair of ZZ Top and Jeff Beck tickets, right? So you'd need all those, or when I say something, you know, very shocking or highly entertaining, and everyone's calling about it. So you have those rollovers. Well, that's done with the very expensive equipment that runs that from a long, long time ago, like 10 years ago, 12 years ago, is like outdated now. And the new ones, oh my gosh, well, the new ones, they've gone up in price a lot. A lot. So we may just go to just straight text line. Well, you know, that's my thought process. After looking at that and looking at budget projections coming up for the new fiscal year for the station, we may just go to the text line. We may not have phones anymore. So if you don't, you get in while you can. All right. Also on the way, how Russians and Ukrainians. Yeah, I love that. I'm pro-Ukrainian to a degree. How about this? I'm anti-Russian. But people will be like, ah, you're all in for the Ukrainians. Well, both of them are going to get a dose of it today on how they're trying to stay out of the line of fire, how the Russians and the Ukrainians, what they're doing to take cover out there. Also, we'll talk about some local story like the Pullman's closing some locations. I thought that was of note. Also, Leanna reminded me as I came in, National Oyster Day. Man, what I would do for, I would get some raw oysters in here or even some cooked or fried oysters, but be a nice way to celebrate today. We might have to go make an oyster run sometime, like during a news break or something like that. But first on the show, and most importantly, and as I've said, I won't let this go when this came up last week, and I continue with it, and I continue to ask members of our delegation how they voted and why they voted on the PACT Act 2022. There's a really good article by my buddy John Sharp. So, for all, you know, transparency, I like John, but he's a heck of a journalist. His latest story over at AL.com about Alabama senators defending no votes on burn pit health care bill for veterans. And, I mean, we can read more here, but it's, and I'll link, I'll tell you what I'll do. Let's press that button right there and then press the second button. There it is right there on the Twitter feed. Hopefully you follow us at FM Talk 106.5. And right there, you can get the link for it. Read through the whole story. But John starts off this way in the story. Alabama's two Republican senators this week are defending their votes against the largest expansion of veterans' health care benefits in over 30 years, as Alabama is just one of three states to see both senators oppose the measure. And we talked about this several times. Our senators, Tuberville and Shelby, were both no votes in June. Now, remember this bill in June did pass the Senate, and then goes for amendments to the House and comes back, and votes changed. But Alabama's votes did not change. Our two senators were no votes back then, and then again, just a couple, 10 days ago, they were no votes again on the PACT Act. So John goes on to say, the measure overwhelmingly passed the U.S. Senate on Tuesday, but Alabama Senators Tommy Tuberville and Richard Shelby opposed the bill, and in statements to the media claimed that they are pro-veteran congressmen and criticized the so-called burn pit legislation as expensive and ill-advised solution loaded with discretionary spending for, quote, a liberal wish list, end quote. And Senator Tuberville was on with Jeff this week talking about it as well. Couple things here before we get back into John's story. I think it would behoove, which is a fantastic word, I think it would behoove both senators to give us pull out the sections of the bill that they're specifically talking about, right? And show us in plain text what they're talking about, and maybe even say, hey, if these things were amended, I would have voted for it. But see, they didn't have to because it passed. They get to vote against it, but it still passed. I would like to see that. I'd like to see that. Is the bill, and I have not read through all the pages of the bill, things I've seen that were, and later on I think Senator Shelby called it like a gamesmanship or something with the bill. If they were as pure as a driven snow in Washington and didn't vote for things that were pork spending, you know, and things that aren't germane to the title of a bill, then I would say, okay, they got a leg to stand on. But how many votes have already happened on things that are packed with this provision, that provision, that end up still getting passed because the meat of it is good? If there was ever a time to kind of hold your nose on the parts you didn't like, it would be, I would say, a bill that would support our men and women, our warriors, our veterans that suffer from, I think, 23 different respiratory ailments, cancer, heart disease, from burn pit exposure. John goes on the story, said the legislation approved with an 86-11 vote in the Senate allocates a projected $280 billion over the next decade to treat veterans suffering from ailments tied to exposure to toxic substances from burning trash pits on military bases. Democrats and other critics believe Republicans who voted against the measure were playing politics with veterans' health in retaliation for an unrelated deal by Senate Democrats to get a massive climate change measure approved. Now, if you listen to the show with any regularity, you saw my unhappiness with the Inflation Act of 2020. Yeah, that's the climate change one, but it's called the Inflation Reduction Act of 2020. That doesn't mean, because that thing stinks, you turn around and don't vote for the veterans' bill. John goes on to say more than 60 veterans organizations, including the VFW and American Legion, backed the measure. Okay. Also want to point out here in the story, as we did last week, because I started ringing phones when this first happened, and AL1's congressman, our congressman Jerry Carl, was a yes vote on this in the House, yes vote. So the no votes were in the Senate. We had yes and no votes in the House in our delegation. Quote here from Congressman Carl in John's story said, they had, speaking about the senators, they have reasons to vote the way they did. I can only answer for myself. Well, good. I think that's good. I think we answer for our own selves. Carl, following an appearance in Mobile on Wednesday, said the potential high cost of the measure made it, quote, a hard bill for me to vote in favor of, end quote, when it came before the House. The House voted 342-88 to support the measure back in July. Okay. And Senator Tuberville, in an op-ed last month, criticized the legislation for, quote, being written so broadly with no cost offsets and at least $1 trillion in the long run. Okay. He goes on to say, he said that's why he didn't vote for it, because of the cost of the bill. And listen, normally I'm going to cheer for that. And if we had a Washington that I thought was very worried about the cost of things, even bills that Republicans vote for, I might say it differently. But they vote for all kinds of things that are not they don't have cost offsets in them. All right, so back to Congressman Carl, who voted yes for the PACT Act, said it's open-ended on what it costs, and I think that is why you saw as many negative votes as you did. No one does not want to support expanding health care benefits to veterans, but up in Washington, when it's open-ended, it gets very creative in interpreting who wants to spend the money, end quote. So, and what the congressman's saying there is true. But then point that out. I mean, here I am. I shouldn't be the messaging machine for all the Alabama delegation. You point it out and you say, okay, listen, we're a no vote until they fix this, this, and this. And then absolutely we're a yes vote. I don't know why they don't do that. Goes on in John's story, say Tuberville also said that he believes the legislation will lead to long waits for sick veterans to receive medical care at veterans' hospitals, prevent veterans suffering from toxic burn pick ailments from receiving care at local non-VA hospital, and prioritize union workers. Close to 80% of VA's workforce are bargaining unit employees. Well, then we had a problem with the VA, don't we? We got a problem with the VA, according to the senator. Then work on the problem with the VA and don't punish the veterans at that same time. Tuberville said we could have done this a lot better. It could have been a lot better for veterans. Okay, make it better for veterans then. Congressman Carl said he wished the House would have waited till January after the November elections to vote. He said he anticipates Republicans gaining the majority in the House after the midterm election. Sure, I think we all see that happening. Congressman will be on with me, I think, Wednesday of this coming week, and we'll talk more about this and quite a few other subjects with him. So just letting you know where that goes. You can read John's full story over at AL.com. We can take your calls and text on this. I'll tell you what, let's go to the phones before we go to the news. And Gary is in Gulf Shores and up first. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good afternoon. Look, Shelby has done more to provide funding for veterans programs than any senator in the history of the state.
Yep.
Tuberville is also very supportive of veterans. It's not that they're anti-veterans, obviously.
I didn't say they're not anti-veteran.
I know you did. That's the narrative people want to take, because when you look at how much spending in that bill is unwise, that's what they were critical of, and how much, you know, it's a tremendous bill. Of course, it's not a trillion like they've been passing lately.
Right.
But it's, what was it, $400 billion?
$380 billion, yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, not too long ago, that was a monstrous bill.
Yeah, that used to be real money. I agree. That used to be real money.
And so they're just trying to, in the legislative process, that's the way it's supposed to work. They're supposed to vote against it. Now, if there were small amounts of the bill that they didn't like, yeah, you compromise. But there was significant amounts of that bill that they didn't feel like we're in the best interest of the country, and if it doesn't get passed in the law, it will come back in the next session as a much improved bill. Or that's what's been stated by the Republican leadership.
And that's what kind of, you know, Congressman Carl was quoted in that, even though he's a yes vote, was quoted that way in John's story. My worry is that, and this is emotional and not, you know, not, yes, mental here,
right,
that in the meantime, those families of those veterans that are dealing with this, as the Senate, you know, House is already out. Senate goes, I guess, today or tomorrow. I guess they hang around tomorrow for one more vote for Schumer. And then they're out. They're gone for recess, for whatever late summer vacation. And I just think about those families that are suffering. And they're not getting something done for them. If we'd have heard from the Republican senators and said, listen, we've got a bunch of screwball stuff in here. Here it is. They put it up on the whiteboard, right? Here it is. This, this, and this. If y'all will change this, we are a yes vote tomorrow. Let's stay here till we get it done. That would have gotten my attention, Gary.
Yeah, I agree. I can't argue with that. Although in some of their commentary on the interviews, they did provide a lot of detail of the elements in the bill that they felt like made the bill unwise.
I heard Senator Tuberville talking about some of that. I need to dig into this, and people are asking, Jerry and others, I'm going to try to get a copy of this, and maybe we can post it up on our social media so we can all look at it and make those decisions for ourselves. So, Gary, I appreciate your call. Thank you. Got to run to the break. Before I do, let me say this. While for a limited time, we still have the fantastic rollover feature on the phone lines up here at 343-0106. Looking for caller number 6. Your chance to win tickets to ZZ Top and Jeff Beck at the Wharf. Tickets went on sale this morning at 10. The show is September 30th at the Wharf, 7:30 show. So good for old folks like me. So we don't, we don't want to stay up too late. Caller number 6, the tickets are yours. Once again, ZZ Top and Jeff Beck. It is the Raw Whiskey Tour coming to the Wharf on September 30th. Tickets on sale now with Ticketmaster.com and the Wharf box office. Caller 6, you win. Good luck.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Okay, can we go? Yeah, we'll go to that audio. Welcome back, 1225 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Congratulations to Billy Frazier. He just picked up his tickets to ZZ Top and Jeff Beck. Raw Whiskey Tour coming to the Wharf on September 30th. Tickets on sale now through Ticketmaster.com and the Wharf box office. So President Biden speaking. You knew this was coming with those jobs numbers. We didn't even have a chance to get to the jobs number story. This midday show we did this morning, and the president is speaking. Let's go to that for a second. Y'all bring that up. Not there? All right. I don't know what's happening. Let's try them from the top. Let's do it again.
In my State of the Union address, I made it clear the watchdogs are back. And that's why the Justice Department named a chief prosecutor for pandemic fraud who got to work right away. In June of this year, the chief prosecutor told Congress that it was essential to extend the statute of limitations for certain pandemic fraud to extend to 10 years to make sure fraudsters can't run out the clock. Congress acted. Today, I'm signing two bipartisan bills that will give the federal and local prosecutors more time to hold criminals accountable for defrauding the American people during a once-in-a-century pandemic. Look, the American people deserve to know that their tax dollars are being spent as intended. My message to those cheats out there is this. You can't hide. We're going to find you. We're going to make you pay back what you stole and hold you accountable under the law. I want to thank the members of both parties, in the House and Senate, for getting these bills to my desk. And now I'm going to sign them into law as proof of another piece of my economic plan. The belief that in the United States of America, there is nothing beyond our capacity. Nothing when we work together as the United States of America. That's what these bills represent.
Okay. So before we got out of the news break, we'll try to get that audio back. He was talking about the jobs numbers added. Is this a super spreader event? Just a question here. As President Biden still testing positive for COVID-19, right? So he's still testing positive. You know, remember, because he was better, and then he's back again. He's signing the bills. He's moved over to the desk now, signing the bills. He has no mask on. It is outside, but, he still has no mask on. There's plenty of people that like to walk around outside with their mask on. President is not. He is COVID positive, according to his doctor, Dr. O'Connor, who said the president continues to feel very well. It said his cough is almost completely resolved. But the president is positive for COVID, but he is out. I'm going to dub this a super spreader event with the president without a mask, speaking to the press, and signing some bills. What are they going to do with that bill? Now, nobody's going to get near it for a while, right? Oh, the president walking away now, going back into the White House. So there you go. He was out from COVID quarantine long enough to give a little speech there and tout the jobs numbers. We'll talk about it. Hey, jobs numbers were beyond expectations 528,000 for non-farm payrolls rose 528,000 for the month of July. Unemployment rate was 3.5%. The Dow had estimated jobs numbers should be around 258,000. So obviously, well above that. Wage growth also surged. So why did the market take a dive this morning? Well, they know what the Fed's going to do. The more jobs are added, the average earnings are going up. Inflation will continue. You know the Fed's going to, in September, boost the rate another probably 0.75%, right? But the president leaving White House COVID quarantine long enough to talk to the folks. So we had that. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Leanna, did you hear the backing track there? Our man Charlie Moss is PSA for the Exporium, which is good. The event looks very cool there. Music in the background sounds like the stuff I have to listen to, like sometimes to go to sleep in my house. That go to YouTube, and sometimes you get like the white. Do y'all ever use that white noise? Yeah, the white noise or the brown noise? I don't know the difference between them. I like both of them, but that's like that binaural stuff. The like. What we think it would sound like in space, even though it's completely silent, I guess. I don't know. We'll find out from Charlie where he got that cut. It's not from the main production library here at FM Talk 106.5. I do not know where he got that from. I'm interested. I might use it to go to sleep in the evenings. All right, now run through some of the text, and then I want to get to my take cover story. I've looked at a couple different, both sides taking cover in Ukraine and how Russians and Ukrainians are trying to stay out of the line of fire. And who they're using or what they're using as a shield, both of them are worth discussion here. All right. So Sean in Fairhope. Actually, I think there's three of us. So this is another Sean Sullivan. There's like three Sean Sullivans in our area that I've met. Maybe there's more than that, but this is the one I think of. I hadn't seen you in a long time. Said, is there any bill that should absolutely have no limit? It is a bill that helps our vets. So Sean chiming in on the PACT Act. Dirt Digger. What's up, Dirt Digger? He said, did Trump let the veterans go wherever they needed to go to get help instead of waiting for the VA? Yeah, that program was, I know, and I remember talking to Congressman Byrne about it. I don't know that is gone. I got to check on that. So, and Tom and Cal with, let me take a second, if you've not listened before on Wednesday nights, part of our Marine Corps force around here, think everything, like I said, every branch except, well, no, we actually have Coast Guard represented now too, but every branch represented around this station, which probably tell you a little bit how, you know, kind of the personalities around here, Tom and Cal host a show called Scuttlebutt Radio Network, a show for veterans by veterans, one that's been with us probably second longest show on the station, show I'm super proud of, Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. So they would know if anybody know, but remember you had the ability to have the waiver to go to your own doctor. I got to see where that is. All right, Jace. Jace says, and Jace is like using my own words back against me, which I appreciate. He says, it's for the veterans. It's for the children. Back the blue, it's for the police. So he knows, I think, Jace knows that I've warned y'all for a decade. When they say the bill is for the children, always worry what the real subtext is. When they go, no, we're doing it for the kids. We're doing it for the kids. He's comparing that to, it's for the veterans, it's for the police. He said, all the sacred lamb, Hail Mary declarations to castigate anyone who dare oppose a proposition. Jace, fair discussion. Fair discussion. At the same time, with a backdrop, I would like to see them take that stand on not voting for something that's wasteful before they do it on this one. You see what I'm saying, Jace? I mean, if they had a track record, if they had a Congressman Mo Brooks track record on voting no, let's take it to Shelby. Let's put the hay down there where the horses can get after it. Let's talk pragmatism to get the hell off the idealism for a second. If you're Senator Shelby, who has brought, you know, and Gary called earlier, has brought a lot of money for veterans and a whole slew of other things to our state. If you had found bills that you couldn't vote for that spent too much in the past, Senator Shelby, then why not this one? Because you voted for the other ones. Why not this one? And yes, Jace, I am. I am like that. I realize it's non-logical in what you're trying to say, that I back this. But I don't back it blindfolded. But I've said, my respect, the same reason I am so projectile vomiting disgusted with the law enforcement in Uvalde is because the respect and the admiration I give for our military and for our first responders are because they are sacrificial. And you, what I mean by that is they are there to be that check against evil. And so in that, the fact that they're the people that go towards the fire, they go towards the gunshot, they go towards the other military, because of that and their sacrifice, that they are there and knowing that they could be killed in doing that, that's why I hold them up higher. Yeah, Jace, I'm guilty of it. I realize what you're saying. I'm not saying you're all wet on it, but I am self-aware on it. Let's see here. People complaining that they didn't win the tickets. Listen, y'all, you got to call and dial. I'm not responsible for that. All right, damn Yankee, VA's beyond broken. What if we shut down the VA, take the money that is saved, and pay veterans a stipend and priority for health care in the public sector? It's all government subsidized anyways. What's the difference? You know, that was back to former AL1 Congressman Bradley Byrne. I know we had those discussions in depth for a long time. I think it might be a good, more efficient way. Although, here's the thing, though. A side note, damn Yankee, in discussions I've had with vets that are in my group of folks, there are certain things. You probably could do like a hybrid, a smaller VA system to address things that really are more veterans issues, right, and have the specialized people, just like my friends do with Fight or Die, which they're getting ready to be in town training for their, if y'all have never heard me talk with those folks, they are the ones that row across the Atlantic, like on purpose, every year in that Talisker Whiskey Challenge to raise money for veterans mental health care out there. But a lot of folks will tell you that there are certain issues that the vets, that you got to have a VA facility to deal with because it's pretty specialized in what our vets are dealing with. But beyond that, damn Yankee, I'm with you. You know, on other things, let them use that money to go to the doctor nearby in the private sector. But you got to keep some, I think, from conversations I've had, you've got to have some facilities that are specific to what they deal with, right? That may not be out here in the general public, that we wouldn't be, there wouldn't be that many private healthcare providers for them. All right. Let's see. Whatever happened to the Bradley woman and the Pritchard waterboard, Sonny from Santa, Sonny, Nia Bradley. I think she's still awaiting day in court, right? Curtis, you got me. Curtis says, who's the station representative for Space Force? We don't have that. Yes, Curtis. We do not have it at this time. As soon as we get some Space Force veterans out there, we'll look to get that relationship. So Jay says, we're on the same page. Bad bill is a bad bill. It's upsetting the number of people misuse a good bill and turn it bad by overinflating it with cost. Absolutely. All the riders in there. There's not that many riders on a boat coming across from Cuba. Dirt Digger says it's probably not the best bill, but I trust Congressman Jerry Carl. He is doing the best he can for us and our veterans. Well, we'll talk. Yeah. Would I, like Senator Tuberville said in that story, want a better bill? Sure, I do. I want a better bill for everything that gets presented. I want specific bills that aren't packed full, like Jace is saying, this rider and that rider. I know there's not time. They can't do all this stuff. I'd like to see a bill. It's about this, and this is all it's about. And you vote on that one. Then the next one. This is what it's about. It doesn't have multiple things. But so it is. I mean, even in the, and look at this segue. Look at this transition. Even in the bills that they passed to send more money, more tranches of money to Ukraine, even in those, they put stuff that had nothing to do with sending munitions to Ukraine in those bills. So, all right. Speaking of which, so I got these two stories, then we'll come right back to the phones, but these two stories that really stood out to me. It's how militaries in theater in Ukraine are hiding from fire, from getting shot. Amnesty International come out this week and taken the Ukrainian military to task. And this goes into a lot of those conversations. Remember, we've talked about that there's tons of Russian propaganda. They're your propaganda machine from way back. You got to take a pound and a half of salt with everything they say. But you got to probably take a third of a pound of salt with what the Ukrainians say, too. Right? We've talked about that. That not everything that comes out of Ukraine, I'm going, oh, well, that's the God's honest truth. Once again, I'm pro-Ukraine. Kind of always anti-Russian. But truth is truth. And when Amnesty International, not exactly some right-wing, or somebody who loves Russia, comes out, it brings it to my attention. So AP writes, Ukrainian forces have exposed civilians to Russian attacks at times by basing themselves in schools, residential buildings, and other places in populated areas, according to an Amnesty International report published this week. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky angrily denounced the report, saying Amnesty International, quote, tries to amnesty the terrorist state and shift the responsibility from the aggressor to the victim, end quote. If you provide manipulative reports, Zelensky said in his nightly video address, then you share the responsibility for the death of people with them. Now, here's the thing, Zelensky, for a second. You've done good so far. I wasn't crazy about that Vogue photo shoot thing. But it shows these reports. And I don't know if I blame you for military-wise if you're getting your butts kicked and you move back to populated areas in an attempt to not have the Russian shelling hit you there. But that does lead to civilian deaths. We'll come back to this story. And then what Russia is doing, where's Russia hiding ammo right now? And where are they firing from? What would be good cover for the Russians? Bad for the world and the planet, but where would be good cover for the Russians? We'll get to that coming up next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:48, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday. Come to the text and the phone calls, plus the second half of that story out of Ukraine. Right now, time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And you got is a Land Rover just showed up?
We got a Land Rover Evoque SE, which is the smaller, it's not the tiny one, but it's not that big, huge one either. It's the sexy one. It's right there in the middle. So 2016, under 100,000 miles, nice trucks, white with a black roof. You know, they're doing that bow tie stuff here lately. We also got a 2020 Altima came in. We got a 13 Mazda, little six car that's under 10 grand. So amongst the trucks and SUVs and all we got some really nice other stuff coming in as well.
Speaking of stuff y'all have got in stock, financing options, how are they looking?
Everything's staying steady. I mean, we haven't seen anything everything you see on the news is not true at LCM.
That's great news. Tell folks how to find you. It's good.
We're on Highway 90 at Plantation in Theodore. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day, buddy.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. And, okay, we'll get to the, and if I don't get your call right away, we'll pick this up on the other side of the news. But the other half of this story before we go to the phones. So Amnesty International, you know who I'm talking about, right? Amnesty International is scolding Ukrainians. The Ukrainian military, they said, for, putting their military and sometimes their heavy artillery, tanks, missile systems in and around people. Schools, hospitals, etc. It said Amnesty also said it found Ukrainian forces using hospitals as military bases in five places in a clear violation of international humanitarian law. The report noted that the parties to a conflict must, quote, avoid locating to a maximum extent feasible military objectives within or near densely populated areas. Combatants also must remove civilians from vicinity of military objectives and warn of possible attacks, a report said, adding viable alternatives were available that would not endanger civilians, such as military bases or densely wooded areas nearby. Okay, they're saying if there's no other if they don't have those places nearby. Now, I will say this, you're watching the unfolding of this war. There's been many times that the Ukrainian government is absolutely telling people to get out of an area, go, leave, move out there. But I obviously, we've seen it before. Here's the problem. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's not. So Amnesty International is saying, hey, Ukrainian military, y'all have put yourself in amongst the civilians, and then when the Russians are hitting y'all, they're killing civilians. The problem with Ukraine doing that in the first place is you're killing innocents, or non-combatants. Second of all, that sometimes when the Russians strike a place that doesn't have the military objective, but like, stuff like they did in Bucha, well, then it leads to conspiracy theories that that didn't really happen in Bucha because you screwed around and did what they're saying somewhere else. So I mean, that's, you know, it's, so I would say this is a strike against this Ukrainian military. Now, somebody would say, well, there's no other way to do it. They couldn't have withstood the original onslaught of the Russians. I don't know. But if you're going to say, how about this? If you're going to say, look at this, all these violations the Russians are doing, which I agree they are doing, then that finger gets turned around on you too. And it's Amnesty International doing that. So maybe they're showing themselves to have some consistency here, which is always very interesting to me. Ukrainian, it goes on to say, Ukrainian authorities have repeatedly asked the remaining residents of the Donetsk region to evacuate, but starting anew elsewhere is not that easy. Tens of thousands of people who left their homes since Russia's invasion have now returned after running out of support or feeling unwelcome. AP reported last week that one evacuee was killed in a missile strike 2 days after returning home to the city of Pokrovost in Donetsk. Neighbors expressed anger that the Ukrainian fighters had set up a base in their residential area on the city's outskirts. As AP journalists looked at the missile crater, a uniformed fighter walked over from an adjacent plot of land and questioned their presence. In the city of Kramatorsk, closer to the front line, residents told the AP that after a strike in a residential area, that soldiers had been staying there. AP saw soldiers entering and leaving the Kramatorsk apartment building hit by a separate strike. And in Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, AP saw soldiers and military vehicles at a teaching university that was hit. Soldiers and supplies were also present at the school for the disabled, where a Russian strike left two craters in the schoolyard. Okay, so there you got. So there you go. Ukrainians, and this is, I mean, Amnesty International say it, AP reporters, these aren't any kind of pro-Russian people, but they're trying to bring fact, and they're saying that, in fact, it is happening. So both sides have been, you know, been doing things that you imagine violate, which is always strange for me to say, the rules of war. But there they are. On the flip side, think about this strategy. You know, they did it earlier in Chernobyl. The Russians spent some time head HQ in there at the Chernobyl site, even had their soldiers dig trenches in the forest surrounding Chernobyl that stirred up the soil that, by all estimates, gave a massive dose of radiation to those Russian soldiers that dug trenches in that area. But now, the newest chapter here, this from the BBC, Russia is using the Zaporizhia nuclear plant as cover to shell us. That's what the Ukrainians are saying, and it looks like this is at least backed up by BBC. So the Russians have this, remember earlier in the war, when they were the strikes and the Russians were taking the Zaporizhia plant, and we were all, well, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. I was the least bit worried that there was live fire going into a nuclear power plant. Okay, well, the Russians took it. Remember, and they had, I think the IAEA came in and signed off that there wasn't any leaking going on at that time or something to the effect. Well, so Russia is set up there at Zaporizhia. They store munitions there. And now they're firing from there. If it wasn't so scary for the future of our planet, or human beings, how about that, on the planet, then you might have to tip the hat to Russian commanders who decided to do that. This is Zaporizhia nuclear plants in the city of Enerhodar, southeast of Ukraine, along the left bank of the Dnieper River. So the Russians are, for a long time, I guess, for months, they said they were storing munitions there, using it as like a depot, knowing that they wouldn't, you know, the Ukrainians wouldn't fire into that spot because of the nuclear facility. Pretty savvy. Now, I guess they're saying that in this, you know, pitted engagement that's going on now as Ukrainians are trying their counteroffensive, that the Russians have set up their heavy artillery they're in Zaporizhia. So you can fire out, but nobody wants to fire back in to take out your heavy artillery. It's worrisome. It's worrisome. I'll have to say, once again, if it wasn't so worrisome, then what happens if something goes wrong and you have, in addition to that war in Ukraine, you also have a meltdown at Zaporizhia that could threaten so many people, even outside the borders of Ukraine. If it wasn't for that, you'd say pretty savvy move there. You talk about shielding yourself. So, yeah, two stories of shielding in that theater. Ukrainian forces, Amnesty International after them for shielding themselves in residential areas. And the Russian forces setting up in a nuclear power plant to not only store their munitions, but to show Ukrainians nearby. All right, grab some calls here before I get to the... Oh my gosh, that leaves them a minute. I'll tell you what, folks on the phone, y'all hold on. We'll go to the news because I don't want to do that and you come in and you have no time to talk. So hold on. We'll come back. Terry says putting civilians in line of fire on purpose is a violation of the laws of land warfare. Correct. That's what Amnesty International is saying, Terry. They're saying that hey, and that's why it's interesting, too. It's not like the TASS news agency out of Russia saying it. It's Amnesty International saying, hey, Ukraine, you know, some of these situations here, some of these situations where you're getting civilians are killed, the Russians are going after military. I think the problem is if they do it a few times, or these times that the AP reporters and Amnesty International are pointing out, then every time Russia from here on wants to hit civilians like they did in Bucha, then people make the assumption that the Ukrainians were hiding, you know, military forces there or artillery pieces there or whatever it is. So, I mean, it's to say that there's like this whole process, once again, always pro-Ukrainian because it's anti-Russia, but thinking there's a bunch of, you know, folks that are obvious good and obvious bad. It's war. It's war. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5. I see people on the phone want to talk monkeypox. Oh, monkeypox vaccines. I got this note from the Mobile County Health Department. If you wanted something to do with your weekend, monkeypox vaccines are available. So there you go.